Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Jamal Adams takes the ball away. He's going to run right and score.
The Jets have themselves a decision.
They've had multiple conversations since the draft. It's just that there's this fundamental difference in the timing of a potential new deal.
Jets are in an impasse with Jamal Adams. He wants it done now, a contract extension.
I think it could get uglier before it gets better, and I think it's going to be around a while.
The Jets say they want him to be a Jet for life, but unfortunately, it's not going to happen right now.
I think he could hold out for sure.
How far does he want to go with this? That's the question. How far does he want to push it?
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, if you've listened to our show over the years, you know we love talking to the Hall of Famer Bill Polian.
Oh, yeah.
And we are lucky enough to have him join us on the Friday at the start of the Memorial Day weekend. He has a new podcast out called Inside Football with Bill Polian. We'll certainly talk to him about that. And Bill joins us now. Bill, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing these days?
I'm doing fine, thank you, guys. I hope you are as well. And, Michael, I think I'm like you. I'm missing baseball badly.
Yes, I hear you, and let's hope it kicks off in July. But there are a lot of hurdles I have to jump, but we'll see. You might have heard as you were holding on, Bill, the Jamal Adams situation. So we want to hit you with this. He's a great player. He could be the best player at his position. He's entering his fourth year, so he has the right to ask to renegotiate. The Jets don't have to do anything. They have him signed for two more years, three if you add a franchise tag. What do you do? Do you give in because you don't want him to be a cancer in the room and he might hold out, or do you just say, listen, we've got the leverage here. We're not going to give you this contract yet.
Well, you're trying to hit the sweet spot in between.
Yep.
They've got him for three more years. The agent is probably threatening all kinds of dire consequences if they don't do something now. It's exacerbated by the terrible tragedy that we're facing in our country. And by the way, let me say a huge thank you on behalf of all Americans, and particularly as an expatriate New Yorker, to all of those wonderful people in the hospitals, first responders. I mean, it's inspiring to see how they faced this challenge and did such a remarkable job.
Absolutely.
I think we're all New Yorkers in a lot of respects. The issue is one where if they're negotiating in good faith, you're trying to hit the sweet spot, and the agent is probably looking to add the franchise tag onto what he would ordinarily make in these next 2 years and then come up with a number that guarantees perhaps 20% more than that. I'm guessing at these numbers. I haven't talked to Joe about it, but typically that's what happens. What's serious here, what the key is two things. Number one, to the agent, the yearly average. To the player and the club, the amount of guaranteed money. That's what it's all about. And anytime you sign a free agent contract, you're worrying about dead money at the end of it. The benefit here to the club to sign him now is that you'll have less dead money at the end of it, because the likelihood is, let's say it's a five-year deal, the likelihood is that he plays all five at a high level. So that's the benefit of doing it now. You're right, they have the leverage. They don't have to do anything at all. With a player this good, probably you probably bend over backwards to try and get it done.
Would you be at all tempted by these rumors that Dallas would give a first and a third for him?
Oh, there are rumors, number one. Number two, You know,
if that were
you
offered, would you be tempted?
I'd consider it. You have to consider every offer, and the fact that it's a one is tempting. I'm not sure that I would do it. I think probably if you're talking about a player of this caliber, I'd want more. But if that's in fact true, that's probably an opening offer anyway. This is a lot of this is about posturing, and having been a management guy, you know, I put it on the agents most of the time, but clubs posture too. So, you know, a lot of this is sound and fury, and you hope that you meet somewhere in the middle. And as I said, I think the biggest incentive is that at this stage of his career, assuming no injuries that we don't know about, or in, you know, some condition that we don't know about, there's likely to be very little dead money in this package.
Do you give in on something like this, Bill, because of the threat of him being poisonous in the room or holding out? Is that the only reason you'd give in? Because you had him signed for 3 more years.
Yeah, no. The message that you want to say, this is me speaking, by the way, and I don't want to I don't want to do the Jets business. But the reason for doing it is to send a message to the rest of the ball club that, hey, this is one of our best players. He does everything we ask him to do. He's a leader, and we're going to get him done. We're going to pay the best players. That's a loud message to send to the locker room.
Is that message made harder when you have some of the things that happened, like last year, some of the tweets he put out that sort of showed a little bit of dissension between him and management, his frustration that they were supposedly open to a trade? Does that make him not the guy you want to send that message about?
That would be a consideration, yes. Now, in this day and age, you know, agents encourage players to do that, and it's become accepted. Ramsey, as you saw, you know, forced his way out of Jacksonville. More and more players are adopting the NBA route of doing things, which is to force your way out of a contract or a franchise you don't like. And as a club, you can't allow that. You have to. That's the dark side of this issue. You can't allow that to happen. We're not the NBA. This is not three players who make a team. It's a team game. You have to have team chemistry. You have to have financial chemistry. So you can't allow that. And as a result, you have to take a strong stance on that. Hopefully, the dialogue is such between the club and the agent that you can say that in less stark terms than I described it, and the player gets the message.
Now, the leadership thing, right? And I believe he's a leader because he's a great player. But to Peter's point, you know, retweeting complaints about the quarterback, like he just did a lot of immature things. So how difficult is it for you as a manager to say, oh, that's just immaturity, that's just posturing, or maybe that is a lack of leadership and something that would concern me about committing to this player long term?
Well, you're correct. It's a concern. You know, these are not two-dimensional issues. I mean, there are three dimensions to this, and maybe more. So, you know, all of that goes into consideration. But hopefully, with a good player, you know, you're in a position where you can do something that makes sense. And I thought the statement that Joe made that, you know, it may get worse before it gets better indicates that the agent's taking a hard line. So you can't acquiesce to that either as a general manager. You have to just hold your ground.
Talking with our good friend Bill Polian, the Hall of Famer, there's so many things that we want to ask you, so we're going to hit you with a couple of quick shots. Joe Judge, what did you think of the Giants hiring him? What do you think of him as a coach?
Well, he's done a great job with the Patriots, everything he's done. That's the first step in deciding, you know, who your coach is going to be. That's the first qualification. Secondly, comes from a winning program. Third, he comes from a program that understands the way the Giants do business. I'm sure Bill Belichick told him that. And finally, John Mara told me that he was one of the best interviews they've ever had. So you have to hope that all of that is prologue. And that he has a good run with the Giants.
Why do you think that a lot of Belichick disciples don't do as well as Bill? Do they try to be Bill?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think they, not just Belichick disciples, if you try to imitate someone, it doesn't work. You have to be yourself. You know, you can adapt somebody's principles, the way they run the program, the principles, the philosophical principles on which they run the program. But you, personally, you just can't adapt other people's mannerisms or ways of doing things. You have to be true to yourself. And all young coaches are guilty of it. All young general managers are guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. But in the end, you find out that it's best to be yourself.
Bill, what's Dak Prescott worth?
Whatever he can get.
to Bill Polian, is he worth, you know, Russell Wilson money?
Look, the money for quarterbacks is determined as follows. Who on the market in any given year is in a position to claim that they're as good or better than the highest paid guy? So, if Patrick Mahomes were on the market this year, he could claim, rightfully so, that he's the mm-hmm. best quarterback in the league. He's apparently not. Now, there's talk that they're speaking to him, which I would expect that they would. But in Dak's case, he has some leverage because he's franchised. And his agent, I'm sure, is saying, we want significantly more than Russell Wilson because we're as good or better than Russell Wilson. So this is quarterback money, really money at any position, is a function of who's free in any given year. And count on the fact, I'll say this with a big caveat, this may change because we don't know what the coming season is going to give us from a financial standpoint. But in a normal circumstance, salaries escalate every single year, regardless of the quality of the player. And so if the player is of high quality, which Dak is, you can expect him to surpass the highest paid quarterback by a significant amount of money. That's just the way it goes.
That's where you get me, though, Bill. All right, so I understand it's all timing, though. So he's the guy that's available right now, so he's going to be worth the most. But maybe, I mean, you have eyes that are in the Hall of Fame. Mine aren't. I don't see him being the same as Russell Wilson. I don't think it's close.
No,
do you?
Well, I think he does some really good things for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think he's as good as Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. But my point is, Michael, that's immaterial.
Okay.
It's always been immaterial. It's a question of who's available and that the cap goes up every year and therefore quarterback numbers go up every year.
How different is the talent level between Dak and Andy Dalton, who they have signed? Is it a great chasm?
I would say pretty significantly. Yeah, I would say pretty significantly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. To bring it back momentarily to the Jets. We've been trying to figure out what it is about Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell and why he did not utilize him a lot last year. Now brings in Frank Gore, and now there's talk that Devontae Freeman could be here. Is there some reason that we could be missing as to why Gase doesn't like Le'Veon Bell besides just wanting to sort of start over from the Maccagnan years?
I can't tell you. If there is, I can't tell you what it is because I see Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh doing amazing things. Now I know why they let him go. I mean, it was purely about money and about demeanor and things like that. And maybe that has spilled over to the Jets. I can't say. But he's a uniquely talented football player with a unique skill set. I mean, there's hardly anybody like him in the league.
How so?
Things that he does. Well, first of all, he's the ultimate pick-a-hole runner. He's the ultimate patient runner. In his own game, offensive backfield coaches coach running backs, be patient, be patient, be patient, wait for the hole to open. Well, Le'Veon's patient in the extreme. I mean, he skedaddles along there. He'll fake a linebacker here. He'll skedaddle a little more laterally. And then when he sees a hole, boom, gone. That's an incredible skill set to have. And then he runs through people. He can make people mm-hmm. miss. He's a factor in the passing game. The guy's uniquely talented. So now maybe he doesn't fit the offense. I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't have an answer for that.
But when we look at it and say there's something up, do you see the same thing by the lack of use, the signing of Gore, the interest in Freeman, does that reek the same to you as it does to us, that something's up, that there obviously is something that they don't like about Bell?
Gore is not an every down or even every series football player. He's a really good player, a Hall of Famer who's at the end of his career. He's a specialized back. He's a short yardage and goal line back. Even though Le'Veon was good at that, Gore is pretty special, but in that role. And you know, I'll believe Freeman when I see him. Now, you know, I've always believed, hey, if you can get a good player and add a good player at the right price, that's great, tremendous. I don't know that says anything about Bell necessarily. That doesn't smack of any difficulty with Bell in my mind, because they're two separate issues.
Is there anything, Bill, because this has been in the news this week, is there anything you could do, because I don't think there is, that you could force a team, if they have a coaching vacancy, to hire a minority candidate? I don't think you can force an owner to hire somebody that he doesn't feel comfortable with.
No, that's the basic premise, as Tony Dungy has explained it, of the Rooney Rule. And as Commissioner Tagliabue explained it, it's about encouragement. It's about the ability to connect minority candidates with owners at every point along the growth chain for young coaches. It's the ability to give, in this particular case, give more minority coaches the opportunity to interview. Because when you interview, you leave an impression, good, bad, or indifferent. If a coach goes in, a minority coach goes in and interviews and does not get the job, that's not where it ends, because another owner in another year may call that owner and say, how did you feel about so-and-so? And if he gives him a good review, that guy's career is boosted. So that's what it's about. It's about providing as much opportunity as we can. In the end, the owner has every right to make his own decision for his own reasons. But the more opportunity we can provide for minority candidates both to grow and to be interviewed, the better off we'll be.
But you know what bothers me, though, Bill? The Cowboys situation. They were not hiring Marvin Lewis, and that was their minority interview. I mean, wouldn't it have been better served to bring in a young guy that Jerry Jones didn't know? Instead, you're bringing in Marvin Lewis when you knew you were going to hire Mike McCarthy. It almost seems like these are token interviews, which are insulting to the candidates.
Well, first of all, I'm not certain that Marvin was a token interview. I'm not sure I agree with that, because I've said to everybody that asked, if you want two top minority candidates to interview Marvin and Jim Caldwell. One guy took a team that hadn't been to the playoffs in decades to, what, six playoffs? And the other guy went to two Super Bowls. So, you know, what's wrong with that? Right. I don't think that was a token interview. You know, they settled on Mike, but Mike had a terrific resume as well.
Yep.
Are you in favor of the 4th and 15 from your own 25 replacing the onside kick?
Yeah, absolutely. We had it in the Alliance of American Football. It was a rip-roaring success. Teams didn't use it very often because they, you know, it was at that level of football, it was harder to make. I think you can imagine Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, or Tom Brady in his prime. They do it every time, which is why they put a limit of two per game on it. But yes, I think it's a marvelous idea, because the new rules, quite correctly, have made the old-fashioned onside kick, it doesn't factor anymore. So bottom line is that this is a terrific, in my view, terrific replacement.
All right. Well, Bill Polian, the Hall of Famer, he has a new podcast out, Inside Football with Bill Polian. The first two episodes are up. The first episode goes into the decision that the Colts had between deciding Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf in the 98 draft. And then episode two starts a four-part series looking at labor issues in the NFL, with the first part focusing on the player strike of 1982. Let's talk about that decision, Bill. Right now it looks like, wow, what a layup. But at the time it wasn't a layup. How tough a decision was it for that organization that you were the GM for?
Yeah, it was not a layup. There are a lot of people now that have amnesia about it. But the fact is, when I got to Indianapolis in January of 98, the scouting staff was split right down the middle, 50% Ryan, 50% Peyton, and we had to go back to square one and start all over again and look at every play during the college careers of each of the players and go through the workouts and the interviews and the background and all that. As we got toward mid-March, it was pretty clear that Peyton was going to be the choice. But it was a rough go. And as a matter of fact, the newspaper in Indianapolis, after a preseason game where we played the Chargers and Ryan looked better than Peyton, had a headline in the sports section that said they chose the wrong guy. Oh. So, you know, it took a while, but Peyton had a rough rookie year, but it panned out. And so, you know, the podcast is designed by the producers to use my long history in the game and all the experiences that I've had in the game, even dating back to my time in Canada, to try and make sense of what goes on today. You know, history tends to repeat itself, and you can learn lessons from history. And so that's what we're trying to do. It's not just a trip down memory lane. It's trying to be topical within the context of what's happened in the past.
I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because even though they weren't drafted the same year, I think Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold are attached at the hip, because the Giants could have taken Darnold instead of Saquon the year before. I know they haven't played the same amount of games, and it's still very early, but do you have a feeling on who might be the better quarterback?
Oh, no. You won't know that for another 4 or 5 years. But I do think that if you're a Jet fan, you're really happy with Darnold. You saw the arrow go way up both years after he came back from the injuries. So that's a real plus. And the injuries don't seem to be chronic. You know, they're just kind of weird happenings that take place from time to time. If I'm a Jet fan, I'm really positive about Sam Darnold. And I saw really good signs from the Giants last year. I mean, he looked really good at times. He made a lot of rookie mistakes, but he didn't have a lot of help around him vis-a-vis the offensive line, and Dave is trying to rectify that. But I think the future's bright for both franchises and both guys, but you can't make an informed decision for at least 3 to 5 more years.
Bill, I know you've addressed this other places, but we haven't had you on since. Obviously, there was a lot made about your take that Lamar Jackson wasn't suited to be quarterback, and now obviously he's proven to be MVP. Was it frustrating to sort of miss on that, or was there some satisfaction in being proven wrong?
No. I've said many times, I used the wrong template. John Harbaugh and Ozzie were way smarter than I. I was judging Lamar based on the old template that we applied to Peyton Manning and people like that, Tom Brady. That's not what Lamar can do. It's not how you use him to his best advantage. And John and Ozzie figured out how to do it. So they were right and I was wrong. It's that simple.
The podcast is Inside Football with Bill Polian. Great stuff every time we talk to him, so you get that on the podcast, wherever you can get podcasts. Bill, I hope we have baseball for you at some point this year, and hope to talk to you real soon, and good luck with the podcast.
Well, I'm glad to do it anytime, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you. And now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-1-20.